your host, Jay Mont G.
And we're back at the Vintage Red Barn. This is On the Fly, and if you are listening on the radio or on the web, it is now Tuesday at about 12:15 in the afternoon. But if you're with us live down here at the Vintage Red Barn, it is a Monday afternoon, and so far it's been pretty nice here at the Red Barn. There is a very large storm approaching us from the west, however. We're going to continue our interviews with Jim Moss from Buckley, Washington. And Jim, hello.
Hello.
Welcome to AirVenture.
Well, thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
Tell us about your exciting project you've got out here in front.
Well, now, of course, we don't call this a project. We call it an airplane. The project's back in the hangar in Seattle.
Okay.
And that is a magnificent project. This is a 1931 Great Lakes originally. I purchased this airframe and the wings about 6 years ago and hauled it up to Washington State, where I had two other projects underway, but we finished those and started on this. And we're going to engine this aircraft with a 165 Warner, which was kind of a common thing that people did with Great Lakes. It was the engine of choice. The 165 Warner is getting harder and harder to come by and harder to maintain. And when I was at Creve Coeur Airport with the Laird Super Solution flying through there on the way up here in 2002, Bud Dakes, who lived there at the airport, offered me this engine for the airplane, said that it would be a perfect fit. This is a Russian engine, a Vyednev AI 14P, which develops 285 horsepower. A little thumbnail on the Great Lakes history. The original Great Lakes had a 90-horse Cirrus, an inverted inline Cirrus that weighed 240 pounds, and this engine develops 285 horsepower and weighs 420 pounds. So there was a lot of work to do with the center of gravity to maintain the appearance of an airplane. The prop always has to be a certain distance ahead of the wing, so I set that out there and then built the rest of the aircraft aft from there with gravity in mind. I've got the oil tank of 12 gallons behind the headrest. The Vyednev engine is started with air, and the air bottle itself, which is rather large and weighs about 25 pounds, is located behind the rear seat. The batteries are located on the tail post, actually, and the seats were moved back 6 inches. Altogether, doing all that moving around, I was able to get the CG right where the Great Lakes factory wanted it to be. The other modifications that were made because of the strength of that engine and the size of that propeller, I had to build the center section, which in a Great Lakes was pretty flimsy. It just had a couple straps holding the fuel tank, which was the center section. But anyway, that's quarter-inch plywood over the entire center section. The vertical fin and horizontal stabilizer covered with aluminum to strengthen that. The headrest is longer and so on. But eye struts, elliptical tips, big wheels, big brakes. It's a much different airplane than a Great Lakes.
But it sounds like the performance is stellar compared to...
Well, the performance is fantastic. This airplane will climb at 3,500 feet a minute, and it cruises at 136 miles an hour. And if you're not here to see this airplane, there are teardrops, bumps, and bubbles all over the thing. There's not one flat surface meeting the air in the front end. So it's as slick as you can get a biplane, and consequently we have that nice cruise performance. Unfortunately, there's only a 27-gallon fuel tank to draw fuel from, and that engine burns about, if you really like to cruise at 135 miles an hour, you'll be burning probably 14 gallons an hour. So I really always like to have a half an hour fuel left when I land, so an hour and a half is about as long as I'll fly that airplane. But it's a nice cruise airplane. And right now the tonneau's on it, so you can't see the windshield and the cockpit covers. But I cut the hole out for the cockpit entrance areas to be very, very small. And then the windshields are five segmented slope shields so that when the air passes over those windshields, it just continues on. There's no buffeting inside. And it's a very cozy and comfortable cockpit. The seats I designed to match my Barco Lounger, the my favorite angle of setback, and put my feet out to the brakes at that same angle. And then I built on the side of the inside of the cockpit the armrests. So you have to be real careful when you're flying this thing. Even if you can only go an hour and 20 minutes, you might fall asleep on the way.
How long did it take you to get out here from Seattle area?
Well, about 3 months, actually. The airplane, a friend of mine, Jim Wiebe, flew the airplane from Seattle to his place in Wichita. It was flown down to Wichita to surprise Charlie Harris for the National Biplane Association fly-in, which was held June the 4th, 5th, and 6th. So we flew it into Wichita, and Jim Wiebe sat there with the airplane. I showed up at the Biplane Association fly-in and shrugged my shoulders and said, "Charlie, I did the best I could, but I couldn't bring that airplane with me." And he was all sad. And the next day we're standing there talking and Wiebe shows up with the airplane. So it was a fun thing.
A little bit of a surprise.
Yeah. And after Bartlesville, we took it back to Jim Wiebe's place. And then he flew it on up to the Twin Cities, to Lake Elmo Airport. And we left it there in Mark Holliday's hangar until I flew it out here yesterday. I left the Twin Cities yesterday about 11 o'clock, and with one fuel stop, arrived here about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, very nice. Now, this was the last year for Bartlesville, right, for the biplane?
The swan song of Bartlesville. The attendance has been dropping considerably. And, of course, the directors and the people who are heavily involved in biplanes, and especially in that particular club, are all in their 80s. So no one's going to step up and take over. So they decided that this was the last time. We had Dick Rutan was the guest of honor. It's been a great day there, or rather a great week. He was there in the entire time. And the fact that it was the last fly-in was noted by the weather gods, and they had the best weather that they've ever had at Bartlesville. Consequently, because it was advertised as the last, they had a larger turnout than they've ever had at Bartlesville. There were 170 biplanes, 230 other aircraft. The dinners, which are held at the country club out there, were standing room only. They had they sold 320 tickets, had about 400 people to listen to Dick Rutan, and it was just a fabulous success. And of course, the ongoing thing through the award ceremony and all that was, this is the last one, sure. But it really is.
Sometimes it really was. Evergreen as an example up in Vancouver, Washington. Over the years, Jim, you've had some really neat airplanes here at Oshkosh. Tell us a little bit about what's going on with some of your other airplanes that you've had here.
Well, the first one I had was the MG2, which was a small biplane with a 165 Warner on it, single place. It had flown with Tex Rankin's Hollywood Aces, and they used it as a ribbon pickup airplane, did a knife edge flyby with a bamboo stick on the left wing, and they'd pick actually a handkerchief off the ground with a 3-foot bamboo stick. It was a gorgeous airplane, and it was yellow and black or something like that when it was doing those things. And I have a picture of the airplane sitting in front of the terminal at in Spokane at Feltz Field. The reason I mention this is that a fellow in Spokane bought the airplane from me, and we have a picture posed exactly the same. That airplane was there in 1936. And then it ended up there in 2008. That's the MG2. The MG2 was, I modified it as I do most of the airplanes I get, and put this paint job on it that you see on the Great Lakes, a cream and red with scallops top and bottom. And so when I had these two airplanes together, I was actually flying them back to Oshkosh last year, and the MG2 developed a little power problem, and we ended up in Spokane with them, or we'd have had the twins sitting here yet last year. It was a cute combination.
Yeah, very nice. So, Jim, thank you so much for joining us today here at the Vintage Red Barn. It was neat that you could get the airplane out here, and we're going to take a break on the fly. We'll be right back here at the Vintage Red Barn in just a moment.